You're listening to The Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
I believe in you and me. I believe that we will be in love eternally. As far as I can see, you will always be there for me. Oh, yes, yeah. I believe in dreams again. I believe that love will never end, and like the river finds the sea of us lost, love free. I believe in you and me. I will never leave your side. Your pride, when all the chips are down, I will always be around, just to be right where you are, my love. Oh, I love you, girl. I will never leave you out. I will always let you in to places no one's ever been. Deep inside, can't you see? I believe in you and me. Maybe I'm a fool to feel the way I do, but I would play the fool forever just to be with you forever. I believe in miracles. Love's a miracle, and maybe your dream come true. Lord, free girl, I believe in you and me. I was lost, now I'm free girl, I believe.
Four Tops opening up this morning on our Sunday morning with the Carol Cox program. We have Lila Berg as a guest this morning in the studio, so we'll talk to Lila in just a moment. Right now, here's Carol.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning, Lila.
Good morning, Carol.
Welcome back. As promised, folks, we said that we would invite Representative Lila Berg back, and we are going to be tossing around quite a few subjects, but we'll talk about bills. We'll talk about some interesting things that were popped up in between the last visit. And pretty good at kind of sad, actually, when you look at it. You know, we talk all the time about, we focus on the concerns in government and what's happening at DLNR. And just when you think we have a handle on it. You learn that it's gotten worse, and I can't believe it can get any worse than what we've already described. But folks, believe it or not, it's bad, and we're going to be talking about that, and we're going to kick around some of the legislative bills and what have you. But again, good morning, and to all of you out there, the number, if you want to participate, 524-1080. This is for the Carol Cox Show, and afterwards, you can pick us up, as always, on carolcox.com, carolcox.com, podcast, or you can send a comment. And for those that you are out there writing, I really appreciate your comments, and boy, are they plenty. I believe I'm talking to a smart crowd out there, and I think they've taken us for granted, but I love the comments you folks are sending. So it tells me that while they think we're asleep at the wheel, the only thing that's going to crash is their political careers if they keep it up. Okay, well, having said all of that, Lila, good morning.
Good morning. Aloha, Carol. Thank you very much for inviting me back again.
And what is going on, some of the things you were going to come back with us, what for openings, what would you like to start with first?
Well, besides what's going on at the legislature, I think the public needs to really understand what's going on with DLNR. You know, you were very generous to pass out your Hawaii Fishing News articles from February and March to all of us at the Capitol. And reading those articles, you were revealing to us that the executive director or the administration director for Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement has been vacant. That position has been vacant since April. So I did some homework on that to find out. And no wonder the enforcement issues of DLNR have compounded the already dismal response that we've had in the past, and not from the human beings in the field, but just in general. There's just so much going on. I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah. Well, excuse me, unfortunately, when you have poor leadership or no leadership in this instance, the officers out there, having been a game warden, it's probably, in law enforcement, one of the most dangerous jobs you'll ever have. Because you generally are alone. 90% of the people that you meet have some type of weapon in hand, and you're more likely to meet them in a not-so-favorable situation. You're catching them, and you're in the backwoods or down on some lonely beach or what have you, or up in the mountain trails. And imagine trying to work just to stay alive and do a good job under those conditions. What if you had no leadership?
Well, most definitely. I mean, the support that people on the ground need in any profession, but certainly with conservation and enforcement, the support that you know your boss is there for you, that you have other alternative places and methods to go to, that you have a team, you know. And since I've been in the legislature, the mantra at the DLNR has been not enough money for personnel, not enough money for personnel, not enough personnel, not enough qualified people. We have so many qualified people in Hawaii coming out of the university, as an example, and professionals that have moved here from other states, yourself included. And when the basic philosophy is not necessarily one of stewardship, and really, but rather compliance, one has to ask the question, compliance to whom, or compliance to what vision? And right now, our land, our water, our natural resources are in severe jeopardy. And that's where I really appreciate the public calling myself as well, you know, talking about specific areas.
And no one seems to, you know, the Hawaii Fishing News bothered to put this out, and I thank them for allowing me that space. And they're allowing other people to write and express their... Without that, I believe, because I couldn't get the media... I talked to the regular media and I said, you know, we have a situation with Commander Young from the Coast Guard, issues of posse comitatus, where we have information and documentation that they know it is illegal. They're discussing it, they being DLNR Chairperson Thielen and Coast Guard Command.
Does the audience know who Commander Young is?
Yes. Commander Young, well, for those that are just joining me, he is an active duty military commander who, I would say, competed for the job, but now the information that I have and how I've reconstructed, and you can find that in this month's issue of the Hawaii Fishing News, where we've laid it out, and that is that information is gleaned from emails that I obtained from Laura Thielen and other situations, and interviewing a number of people close to the situation. So Commander Young is active duty, and Thielen allowed this position to be open for more than a year, and it is still vacant. He is serving in a part-time acting position as a liaison between the United States Coast Guard and the DLNR. And what is truly painful is that, let me just share with you, now, I don't like to talk innuendo and slander, but through my investigations here lately, I've spoken to people that have interacted with Commander Young. And let's just take, for example, the Kauai protests against the Super Ferry. You know that the Coast Guard was involved. So they actually had meetings to orchestrate and put together some kind of, quote, plan of attack or action plan. And in the discussion, the statements attributed to Mr. Commander Young was, well, to get rid of the surfers or the protesters, we'll take the high-pressure water hose off on the boats and knock them off. Or if that don't work, we'll take the rotor of the helicopter, the Dolphin helicopter that they use, and we'll just go down low and we'll blow them off the surfboards.
I don't know about that that situation. This is
people that participated in a meeting where, when they're preparing to go over there and address this, quote, protest. So when you have that, others attribute that statement to him, and it's pretty reliable. Nothing that these sources have told me have not been factual. So what I can say, but bringing it back, and how does this relate? And you can comment on several things here. We know that she leaves a position open for a person that's active duty, and she knows in writing, in emails that she's written herself, acknowledging that it is illegal for this man to take the job, but she leaves it open and she presents false information. But what happens is that while doing that, she takes Dr. Polhemus, who is the Department of Aquatic Resources, Dan Polhemus, and she puts him on 10-day suspension. Then, now he is being threatened, or potentially will be fired. They snatched all of his computers, his cell phones. He doesn't have access to the office. He has nothing. He is in a fight with the Laura Thielen and the state now. Now, how is it that you could have such extremes? You have a doctor, and Dr. Polhemus is very prominent. If you Google Dan Polhemus, you'd be shocked. I couldn't see him keeping company with a party like Laura Thielen. I don't even know how she would rank when it comes to the intellect.
Well, I think we have to look, when we're talking about DLNR, I think we have to recognize that every director has inherited that department from the previous one. So we're really not talking about situations that have come up overnight. And with Dr. Polhemus, you know, the first thing that strikes me is due process. As an employer, an employee, I mean, that there's a whole other situation. I'm not as familiar with it as you are. I think the larger conversation and the different questions we need to ask is not only who is responsible, but how. How is this happening now? Where are the holes? Where are the loopholes? Where are the gray areas? You know, one of the, if we talk about specific locations, a wonderful young woman, Tamara Paulton from Maui, brought to my attention her organization's work to protect Honolulu Bay, as an example. Honolulu Bay is on Maui, It's a marine conservation area, and their concern, besides the history and the whole sacredness of the area being disrespected, but that physically in the water, boats are tethering to moorings that have been placed there. Now, when I introduced a bill to make it illegal to put moorings into Honolulu Bay, the director's comment to me was, it is already illegal except for DLNR. So we changed the bill a little bit to reflect that it is illegal to moor on DLNR, to tether to DLNR moorings. And it is amazing how something, there must be something more that I don't know, because it is so common sense that a commercial enterprise, a commercial business, shouldn't have the right to tether one, two, three, four boats deep. On in a marine conservation area at all, but certainly not to a DLNR buoy. And, you know, when that question, a question such as that comes up, there, it's almost disregarded like, oh, well, we'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. And I really wish DLNR would take care of these things, because it is within their administrative rules. We shouldn't have to make extra laws. It's really a matter of enforcing what already exists.
Well, what is happening? The reason they, two things they like to keep the legislators at bay. They first say, we don't, they, let me clarify, the administrators, the chairpersons, those up at that top level, because they come with bad intentions anyway. The system is functioning, and you have professionals, biologists and what have you, in place already, so it's a revolving door up top. But they always tell the legislators, we need more money, or we need more personnel. But in the interim, they know that the legislators do not have the time to sit down and audit everything, so they know that while there are vacant positions and key positions that are vacant, they still can come in and say there's shortage of people. And they're diverting that money. There's going to be a $5 million deficit in the land division, for example, and that's something no one has talked about. The legislators will probably cut this coming year's budget for DLNR. Laura Thielen has played a shell game with the monies within the DLNR land division, and taking, and I have more details here, and we'll talk about it on carolcox.com, and there will be writings. But the bigger thing is Dan Polhemus. Dr. Dan Polhemus, I apologize to him and other people that worked hard to get the degrees. He's being railroaded. And the reason he's being railroaded, and I will, Linda Lingle, anyone that wishes to challenge me, I will lay the facts out. As far back as Linda Lingle's statements in meetings on Maui about the water. So it is a ruse, it is a sham that Thielen is firing this man, Dr. Polhemus, because he made recommendations. Now, this is the truth. Now, what she's now offering is some nonsense, and she's going to fire him because he made recommendations, recommendations that are not binding. He gave his best science. And so she is holding him accountable because we, the people, you legislators and all, can go out there and rely on that document to say, why are we diverting this amount of water from these rivers? What about our rivers, and what about our aquatic resources? So that's what DAR does. That's the purpose. That's why the legislators fund them. Somebody speaks for the resources. Someone make an assessment. Well, she is going to railroad this man into oblivion, and then in turn, while bringing on a commander from the United States Coast Guard, illegally. Is there any relief?
That's a judicial question, and maybe before it gets to be a judicial question, I think this is a question you asked me about leadership on the last program. Yes, the director is directly responsible and immediately responsible for employees, but so is the governor. The governor appoints the director of all the executive departments. You know, one of the places, I guess, that really where the public can weigh in is to give us information and to help us through the process of exploring facts, I guess, and researching for helping us research. You know, every at the legislature, every in both the House and the Senate, there are content committees. Mm-hmm. So the content committees deal with those executive departments, and it is really it is troubling to me how much every committee has to deal with, but also you know, how sometimes our response in our CUTCAR, our committee level, is that we let bills go by thinking the next committee is going to pay attention to it,
right,
or that finance is going to handle it, or that judiciary is going to handle it. And that puts a lot of pressure on the last committees when the content issue should be dealt with at the first committee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a feeling there that if we don't agree with each other's bills, we don't like each other. You know, and we take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really wish to calm those waters, you know, and ask my colleagues and the public also to take the personality out of the topic. And the more we can release ourselves from feeling maligned when someone doesn't agree with us,
mm-hmm.
I think the more creativity we'll have in a calm mind
mm-hmm.
and heart to
mm-hmm.
be able to come up with some fresh ideas.
Well, this situation, why is it important? Normally, I would never permit myself or engage in a situation discussing one's firing without having the facts. But in this instance, the facts are there, but they don't concern me as much as what it is doing, the unraveling and the purpose, what is in place to protect the natural resources. When you can fire, just walk in and wholesale file an action, fire an individual, impact them, you've impacted the program. You've taken the head, the central intelligence part of your management and destroyed it. So that is what I'm speaking to. I've never met Dr. Polhemus in person, other than I've read about the dragonflies and the damselflies that he's world-renowned. He has many a species named after him. So when we have people of that capacity in place, Dr. Polhemus is doing things that would benefit the native people, the native population here, the taro farmers there in Maui. And we're all sitting around and allowing this behavior, him to be treated as if he is a hobo that fell off a train and we want to hurry, shuttle him out. That's wrong. And not to say that personal about him, but to say that look at what she's doing, this administration is doing to our natural resources. How do we sit back and watch? Do we say, well, that's he may deserve it? Or do we go look at the bigger picture and say, and ask ourselves, what are we losing if we permit Laura Thielen to come in and conduct herself in this fashion?
I understand exactly what you're saying, and my concern even goes to the next level of employee and the next level.
Mm-hmm.
If Dr. Polhemus is being consequenced, as you suggest, for his report, for his information that he's sharing, the DoCare officer in the field, the clerk at the DLNR office who comes across information that is questionable or
mm-hmm.
that they have to take an individual initiative, it becomes really scary for them
mm-hmm.
to think that their jobs may be on the line, even if they are government employees, even if they are protected by the union.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the thoughts I've always had about our state government is, wouldn't it be great if we could really work collaboratively?
Mm-hmm.
What if the legislature, even though it's the third branch of government from the executive branch, what if we, you know, were able to really look deeper into the operations of the executive branch, even though it's not our responsibility, but holding the branch accountable for its actions relative to the bills that we're introducing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the public really must get involved and at least not lose faith, you know, in the process and hold us accountable.
Well, if you have a person with a club and a heavy hand, and the reward is if you... And the sad part about this, remember, the people that make the recommendation based on science and fact, they don't implement those things. They present them to the chairperson, and it is the chairperson who sets the policy. So why would anyone be held accountable in this strict sense for making non-binding recommendations? You either take the recommendations and use them and incorporate them into your policy, or you trash can them. But you don't turn around. So the big deal is that what we're looking at here is and we're going to talk about something else that I mentioned earlier, that if Dan Polhemus, and I hope that you don't commit yourself to any statements, but I make these statements, and I want to make sure it's clear that it is Carol Cox making these statements. But if Dan Polhemus is to be fired because he made recommendations that are non-binding to the Water Commission, and that all Thielen had to do was say, well, good, but we don't think those are good, and we're not going to accept them. We're not going to incorporate them. But he did due diligence. He did do his job. Well, if that's the case, and if we're going to base it on that she can legitimately fire him, then I think that come Monday morning, I will be at the state capitol asking for her resignation immediately, and here's why. I'll let you tell us what you're the one who alerted me to this regarding the national parks. If Dan Polhemus is to be fired by Laura Thielen, then this recent finding that you found, someone alerted you to regarding her actions with historic preservation, if you would, I'll let you share the story with the listeners.
Yes, and before we go there, may I share that the troubling part, you talked about the board of DLNR making decisions as well. The director of DLNR is the chair of the board of DLNR, so of Board of Land and Natural Resources. And that, to me, is extremely problematic. But that notwithstanding, and that needs to be changed in the next administration, perhaps. As that last time we talked, I shared with you that my interest really is in the specifically with DLNR is in the State Historic Preservation Division with the transgressions. And it has become known to the United States as well as to the state of Hawaii that the National Park Service has designated our SHPD division as a high-risk grantee. And what that means is that in their review, in their summary, as they are expected to do because SHPD receives federal funding, they have ascertained that there are they have on several occasions tried to help SHPD correct their deficiencies that were identified in audits going back to as far as 2002, and to no avail.
And in fairness to Thielen, it was before her arrival, but this letter is addressed to Laura Thielen, speaking that they'd also worked with her, and she failed.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, the audit that we are requesting of the SHPD, that's currently in the Waterland Committee of the House, is looking at the state transgressions. Actually, it's not even looking at the transgressions. Looking at the state operations. The federal government looks at what they need to look at, and they've identified in the report that I was reading a number of specific locations where follow-up from SHPD was missing. That's at the federal level. You can only imagine at the state level what is going on and not going on.
Well, this letter is frightening in that it tells to Thielen, this action is not taken lightly and comes only after multiple attempts to help SHPD correct serious deficiencies identified in audits going back as far as 2002.
The state stands to lose $1.4 million of federal funding.
Right, and you know, okay, some of us probably think, well, a million's not that big. Now, you can win that on a game show. Well, here's what we lose. We lose the historic preservation, the preservation of historical sites, the preservation of culture sites, the preservation of burial sites, and all of that. So I don't, you know, the price of $1.1 million, but what we lose is priceless. There is no price to be attached to the culture and the history of a people.
Definitely. And in addition, what the National Park Service has said is that if SHPD does not meet its obligations under their guidelines, and therefore Hawaii's approved program status will be removed, you know, not only will the agreements be moot between the federal government, we will lose millions of dollars, but there also will be uncertainty in how government agencies operating in Hawaii will comply with state and federal laws, not only administrative rules. And this could not only result in delays in economic stimulus and other federally funded construction programs, but it will continue to create more lawsuits of developers here in Hawaii. And this, our conversation the last time I was here was sharing with you that my concern is cultural. It is about the natural resources of and protecting Hawaii, but it is also about looking at our economic future and our prosperity. Mm-hmm. The lawsuits that are currently against the state from developers, you would be astounded.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you know, it went back as far as 2002, but our audit shows that Hawaii has significant operational problems. Has, not had, prior to your arrival, Ms. Thielen, but has significant operational problems in several mandated activities, including survey and inventory, review and compliance, National Registry, Register of Historic Places, certified local government administration, and historic preservation planning, leading to our finding that the state is not meeting its obligation under the National Historic Preservation Act, NHPA. So if we're going, Governor Lingle and Calvin Say and Hanabusa, if they're going to allow Dan Polhemus to be fired, then they should immediately fire, not based on what I'm saying or you're commenting on, but based on this document. It states right there, this the best assessment you can have. While Dan Polhemus, his penalty or his crime, supposedly, is that he made non-binding recommendations. He did his job, while Thielen didn't do her job, and she gets to fire. And come Monday morning, he has a case, they're going to hear his case. The kangaroo court, she's going to sit on the board with two others from the board, I guess.
And Director Thielen is the board chair.
Yes.
You have to just remember that.
So she, you know, she, I'm lost. But again, it is not so much about Dan Polhemus as far as I'm concerned. It is about this systematic, this institutional behavior that she is allowed to do this, and that means the message that will be sent to any state worker: if you don't do what it is that we want you to do, we don't care about science, we don't care about facts, we don't care about honesty or in the protection of the natural resources, you word it as we want it to accompany us and help us accomplish what it is we want to do, or you're out.
I think one of the clarifications we have to be sure to make is that the legislature does not enforce. So while we would love the president of the Senate and the speaker of the House to show up at the boardroom, that's not our role, technically. The public needs to weigh in.
Yeah, but that's why the United States Postal Service in the emails these days and the text messages, because, see, I'm just a little different in an opinion there. I believe that if a lobbyist can walk in and talk to Calvin Say and get him to take money and then carry his bill, then I believe that Calvin Say and Hanabusa, at minimum, kowtow to the real lobbyists, and that is the people, to at least write a letter. You see, you don't have the right to intervene on the part of Mr. Polhemus, but you darn sure have a right and an obligation as you allow the lobbyists to walk into your door in the back door or meet them at the restaurant and have carte blanche, unobstructed access to you. And at the end of the day, you write a beautiful letter for them, or you write a bill and or a resolution. So I, you know, tend to disagree in that, no, they have an obligation, not just the fact that we ask them. Because, you see, here's the problem. They're the ones that's allocating the money. You see, they're the ones who's funded this program and gave the money. So they have an obligation to at least shepherd the good behavior on the part to ensure that this position, for example, how can he be removed? Then the question is, well, who are you going to replace it with? And how long are you going to leave it open? So, you know, the legislators do have a role, and maybe we need to just close the door to lobbyists and then focus on the real issues, the Paul Hemises and the Coxes and other issues. But anyway, go ahead.
You know, and it really comes down to asking different questions, you know, mm-hmm. and I appreciate the way you think. because you cause us to pause a little bit and reflect on what really is any of our role as mm-hmm. government people, as branches of government, as citizens. So thank you very much.
You got a call. Good morning, Ed. How are you? Long time no hear.
Yeah, good morning.
You got a question, comment for Ms.
Bird?
I've
been golfing, so. Regarding this Commander Young, I think that's a big issue. Clearly having cronyism, perhaps corruption, but getting back to Commander Young, he's a career Coast Guard officer.
Mm-hmm.
There must be something in his career that, after a long stint in the Coast Guard, he wasn't able to become a captain, promoted to be captain or maybe even admiral. So in his evaluation reports, there must be something that didn't give him the 4+ that was needed to become promoted to a captain after mm-hmm. a career, 20 or 30, I don't know how long he's been in. So he isn't the top guy from the Coast Guard that's going to, that feeling want to put in our position. So that is my question. He doesn't seem like an A1 person, since he's not the top guy. Everybody can be an admiral, but there's a lot of captains in the Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say.
Okay. Well, what he's doing is jumping ship.
I think we need to be prudent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and discerning in talking about a gentleman, certainly that I've never met.
Mm-hmm.
What I hear you saying, Carol, really is it's the process.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of who was named to be there, although it seems a little bit questionable that someone who is currently employed in the military, one of the military branches, would be already on payroll perhaps, or would be making decisions for Hawaii's land use, which the military also uses, you know. So I think we need to be prudent, mm-hmm. you know, about how we talk about the people and
mm-hmm.
focus on the process now. And you know, one of the realities about the Department of Land and Natural Resources is that it's huge. It's a huge department with a giant mission, and it really needs to be looked at from the perspective of what are their responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
On Kauai, for example, there's an area up Kokee side that is zoned ag,
mm-hmm.
but within the responsibility of DLNR. You know, there needs to be a little more clarity here, because if DLNR issues permits for use, and as an example, that particular area is already being used for agriculture, but now DLNR wants to use it for something else, what's the process of enabling the agriculture area users
mm-hmm.
to either have first rights of refusal or to plead their case? You know, I mean, I'm finding my time in the legislature that the frustration of citizens to just get information, to know what the process is where mm-hmm. they're willing to take responsibility, but information sometimes is just being withheld from them.
Well, you know, and if I went over and asked this morning, Thielen, can you give me a list of all the good things you've done? And I would probably be tired by the night just picking and carrying the things she's done good. But if I ask her to tell me one thing she's done wrong, she tells me it's 50 cents a page for you to see that document. So that's telling in itself. And the way we can describe, best way to describe this institution that we call DLNR is that it is still tied to the big system. You know, remember now, on Maui, for example, who wants this water? Why is there an issue?
This is East Maui,
yes,
right? The water system.
Why is
there
an issue with the water? You have big companies that want it, period. And so mow the little man down. And while the little man, the human aspect of it, but what about the more critical, the more fragile aspects of this, the aquatic resources, the species that are found in there. We beg the federal government for monies to protect these species, and then we have this great golden tear dropping from our eyes saying, Hawaii is the most, has the highest number of endangered species, boo-hoo and boo-hoo, you know, and so send money. In the meantime, our governor and others are kowtowing and playing to the music and the desires of big business, and then firing those that simply would stand up and say, here's a good science about this. We can have X gallons flowing in this direction. You still can use the water here, a portion of it, not impacting, but no, we want it all.
Well, again, we have to look at enforcement,
mm-hmm.
because there are laws to protect minimum stream flow.
Right.
And it is those laws that are being challenged, and not in court. They're being challenged at the operational level on Maui, as an example. So when there are laws and there is no executive director for the Department of Conservation and Resources Enforcement,
mm-hmm.
naturally there's going to be this belief that people can get away with what they want to get away with until there is enforcement.
But now, here is the danger of this, and it's such a joy talking to you because we can go from point to point. And in this case, that's why it's so critical that we draw a line in the sand now. We will not tolerate this railroading of anyone in the management. If you have a legitimate reason to fire them, then fire them. But here's what happens. Even if Mark Young was in place yesterday, he would have to rely on Dr. Paul Hemus to be the expert witness in doing and providing him with the information that is necessary to bring forward a case, to go over there and issue a citation or to issue an indictment. Because the law enforcement people, though they're skilled to enforce the law, you're not skilled enough to know the biology. You're not skilled enough to offer a professional and a scientific background supporting your arrest. So that is why this is a danger. Laura Thielen, through Linda Lingle, and these are my statements now. I don't want anybody calling up and saying Lila Berg made this statement. I'm making these statements, and I know factually what she's doing. She's carrying out this act to satisfy the big business over there and the developers. That's what this is about. This is nothing to do about experience and expertise. This is about he said the wrong thing. The people now can go back and say, look, we couldn't afford a scientist. We couldn't afford a team of scientists to rebut what it is the governor and the big business as partners want to do. But look at this document. A world-renowned scientist who works for the state with the support of his people and other input advised us in this document and advised the water board that this was the proper thing to do. We have that now, and so what that provides us is ammunition as the public and the people there on Maui, East Maui. They now have some evidence because the experts have spoken. That is why Thielen and the governor wants to tar and feather Dan Paul Hemus. And in doing so, it's like, and this is a sad occasion, but in Montana, you drive through there, in New Mexico and Texas, sometimes you'll see an occasional coyote hanging on the fence. Well, this is Linda Lingle's style. This is Laura Thielen's style. We'll put Dan Paul Hemus on the fence so the next coyotes or the next smartasses that come through wouldn't dare. That's what this is about. This isn't about politics. This is about serving big business at our expense.
I think we'll find many examples on every island,
mm-hmm.
you know, and specifically maybe not with water. However, water is the issue
mm-hmm.
everywhere. State historic preservation sites, cultural sacred sites that have been and are being consequenced, and there are communities across the state that are rallying around their specific areas. And if they would see and understand that there are many other communities that are also doing the same thing. You know, my television program on Wednesdays is called Voices for Change, 7:30 at on Channel 52 on Olelo, interviewing individuals, average individuals with extraordinary and above average willingness and commitment to protect their areas and rally their communities. Many voices around the state are now speaking about change, and not just change for change's sake, but as you're describing, changing the process in which decisions are made, not closing our eyes anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the degradation and the challenges to our environment. Mm-hmm. Without a healthy environment, and it's not just words, without a healthy environment, we have no economy.
Without a house, you can't call it home.
That
so,
too.
So if the fish don't have anywhere to swim, we have no fish. Because the oopoe and all the other species that are found in the rivers and the streams that go to the mountains are part of the ecosystem, and other fish rely on them for fish, for food, and all of that.
Yes, and it's it's similar situations even in East Oahu, Mauna Loa Bay. You know, in statute, Mauna Loa Bay is protected from mm-hmm. overuse of commercial activities. There's a bill now to increase the use of the bay with thrill craft.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bay where Huinola Canoe Club practices. The children swim, and there are kayakers. I mean, mm-hmm. we have a very water-based lifestyle in East Oahu, where I represent. You know, our community is trying vigilantly to oppose this bill, and we're finding now the support from other communities.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to offer a few things here and then talk to you about another subject. But first of all, if in fact this is valid, this firing, this persecution of Dan Vilhelmus is appropriate and legal and consistent with law, then poor IU also should be fired. Because, look, here's the evidence right here. The National Park said to Ms. Thielen, your program is failing. So poor IU should be on notice that she's being fired, because she is the equivalent of Dan Vilhelmus in the historic preservation. Right?
Yes, you know, I can't dispute that.
No,
with
I mean, you know,
you
as,
know,
as a legislator, and hope that you can go back and share this with them, because this is what, if I can see it as a layman, and it's not my business to be making law, but if it's their business to be handing money out to Thielen, and she's able to fire this man for failing to do whatever, she's going to lay it on him at Pico Lagoon.
Which is my area.
Your area. And which is a frame-up. She's framing this man. But then poor IU, there at Historic Preservation, has mismanaged it to the point where the federal government is writing, this is the evidence, this is a smoking gun.
HCR, it's Concurrent Resolution 50, is sitting on the Waterland Committee right now that's asking for a management audit of SHPTE. It must go through.
So I think Ms. Haar is holding that build up. So any of you out there that know Ms. Haar, I attempted to call her, but I don't have enough money in my pocket to get her attention, to give her lobby fees. But I've called her office to speak to her about this. She hasn't called me back. And this was the one who was going to champion the people's cause. So, Ms. Haar, if you're out there listening or you hear this later, please give me a call. I want to talk to you about this. And secondly, this tomorrow morning is a meeting there at DLNR. There's a kangaroo court occurring with Dan Vilhelmus and Laura Thielen. I would never ask many of you to get involved and take an action, but I'm going to ask you this time to contact the governor, contact Calvin Say, contact Hanabusa, and tell them we want justice. If Dan Vilhelmus has to go, then so does poor IU. And if they have to go, then the Department of Land and Natural Resources Land Division had the largest problem coming up, $4.8 million in the red, failing to account increasing obligations in terms of internally subsidized programs within DLNR. They will be $5 million in the hole, and then Thielen is going to probably take and say, we have no money, we have no personnel, so let's take DLNR and put it under the boating division, or aquatics. I'm sorry, taking VAR and put it under aquatics. So Anyways, one of the things you didn't tell us about last time, you are becoming running for lieutenant governor.
Yes, I've filed on February 2nd to run for lieutenant governor, and I'm really excited about the opportunity to bring our islands together in a common voice for our environment and certainly for our economy and for our children.
Well, I thank you for coming and joining us. And again, you had promised you were going to come back on the 28th, I think, right? Or whenever.
Yes.
Okay.
We need to talk about the bills that might still be alive before session ends.
Okay. Well, thank you again. And we're going to close out here. You can look at the National Parks letter to Thielen at carolcox.com and the full report, 144 pages. Aloha and thank you. Thank you, Lila.
Thank you, Carol.
Ms. Berg.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Listening and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.
This is KWAI, Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.